Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Get it? The Burt Show.
How do you pull off the perfect proposal when you've got a planet pretty soon? So my brother is proposing to his girlfriend at some point. We don't know when it's happening, but we do know that it is coming in the near future because they went ring shopping last week. I believe they picked out a ring and it's all very exciting. Very, very exciting. But this is kind of new territory. Like this is the first time I've ever been a part of planning a proposal or being a part of it in any way. And I want to make sure he gets it right.
So has he come to you? Like, has he come to your mother to be like, hey, I could use some help or guidance? Or are you guys just weaseling your way in because you want to be a part of it?
A little bit of both. So he's been talking about it in our family group chat that is affectionately called Murphy's Law, because our last name is Murphy. And we have talked about like dates and stuff because, of course, we'll need to go down at some point. So we can't reveal when it is happening or what the specific details are. But we are going to help him organize it because Lord knows he's going to need the help.
So he wants you guys involved.
Yes.
That's so sweet.
It is very, very sweet. Yeah. Him and his girlfriend are very, very family oriented. So I'm sure at some point her family will be involved in some capacity, whether it's an engagement party or whether they come down for it. I'm sure they'll be there for it. But we haven't figured out those details. Like, we literally just found out this is happening like within the last 7 days. And I take this job very seriously. I was very heavily involved in my cousin's wedding and wanted to make her bachelorette party a success and wanted to make my speech for her wedding really good. So when it comes to the proposal, like, I've got a winning streak and I've got to make sure that I stay on it, make sure that my brother comes out looking good. Because if it doesn't go over well, I mean, this is the kind of thing that you hang over your fiance or husband's head for the rest of your life. And I don't want to have any of that guilt. So I went to the internet to look for some tips. And some of the things that came up were some of the things you would expect. Like, obviously, you want to make sure that you get your partner's preferences in check. You got to get the ring on lock, which I know that they have gone shopping and figured some of those details out. But then you got to pick the location. Like, do you do it on like a destination vacation? Do we all plan like some kind of family vacay that like, oh, she's getting proposed at? Or do you do it in your hometown? When do you do it? Like, is it better to do it in the summer? Is it better to do it around the holidays when everyone's already kind of bouncing around the same locations?
After a drink, without cocktails.
Do you have cocktails? Do you go sober? Do you snort a line before? Like, what do you do?
Of course you
got to figure out your speech. Like, what kind of things do you want to talk about in your relationship when you ask this woman to spend the rest of your life together?
So that is the one sticking point for me right there, because I've been doing radio long enough that over the years, several guys have hit up the shows I've worked for and they've wanted to propose. Right? And so all this planning goes into the setup, right? But then they got on air and they bombed because they didn't plan anything that they were going to say. Mm. And I'm like, the words and what you say are the most important part, not like the whole setup, like where you are, exactly how you're going to do it, if it's, you know, on a big screen, if it's, you know, a sky writing, whatever it is. But in all the years that I've been doing, helping out with proposals on air, the guys have always dropped the ball when it comes to what they were going to say when they actually proposed. And I'm like, did we not put any thought into this?
Clearly not. You should be able to speak from your heart that moment, you would think, but you can't trust them to do that.
Well, I agree, but also at the same time, like, you get so nervous. Because I remember when my husband proposed to me, like, he was actually like shaking.
Really?
What? Yes. And he knew you were going to say yes. Like,
for sure.
Y'all talked about it.
And he remembered too, because like when he proposed, he looked at me, he says, I already know I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. But will you marry me?
Okay.
So regardless, so he like really put a lot of thought into it. So I just want to implore your brother that, talking to we focus on the ring, we focus on the location, we focus on who is there, but we tend to forget to focus on the words. So I would implore him to really put some thought into that.
He's a sales guy, so he's really good with his words. But the one thing that I implored for him was, I was like, you can't do the kneel wrong, because there are some guys that go completely on their heel when they propose. So they're kind of like squatting and like You know what I'm talking about? Where they sit on their heel. They don't do the proper 90 degree bend.
Yeah, because they're standing too close. And then you get like this weird arch, like your back is arched and you're looking up awkwardly.
I was like, you can't give her the ick right before you ask her to spend the rest of your life together. She's going to rethink it.
See, for me, I might have them kicks on. So I'm worried about creasing the sneakers. And when
I have seen videos where men have taken their shoe off and then got down on bended knee
because
they didn't want to put a crease in the shoe.
Then there's also the really important, this might be one of the most important things to consider when it comes to your engagement, but do you celebrate with friends and family after? Do you wait a full day? Because I've heard some people say they really want that to be like an intimate moment between the two of them. Hmm. So like, how long do you wait to have your friends and family come around and celebrate?
See, I think that's just completely up to the couple, like what your personal preference is. Some people, they sound like they're very family oriented, so I would see them wanting to celebrate immediately, whereas some people like to sit on it for at least 24, 48 hours so they can just kind of bask in the glow of being engaged and only the two of them know.
Yeah, because I could definitely see me and my lady being split on that. I would want to spend time with family. She would not.
Really?
She would want to be one-on-one time for sure.
Well, good thing you don't have to propose to her.
Yep.
Well, if you have any tips and tricks for me, please let me know at the Abby Murphy on Instagram. Would love to.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hear from ya.
The Burt Show.
We're getting a Burt Show listener on the line. Her ex-husband's new fiance has been spreading mad lies about a situation on Facebook, and she is ready to share her side of the story. She emailed us. She's like, can I use your show? I need to get some stuff off my chest. So we're going to let her take the mic here in just a second. I have to remind you guys, though, today is April 1st. So it is April Fool's Day. If you somehow missed it, last week we pulled an epic prank on Burt Weiss. He thought he was interviewing Post Malone. Little did he know he was interviewing Burt Show listener Jimmy, who doesn't have a left hand. we brought Jimmy back in yesterday, Mo, so he could share like his side of the story as far as like his perspective of how everything went down.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, you guys. There is a 3-minute video up on YouTube and at theburtshow.com, but we also are posting the full interview, the full prank. Burt talked to this man for 20 minutes, all right? 20 minutes. He thought he was interviewing Post Malone, and he was not.
Standing right next to him.
Literally. Fake tattoos and everything. So if you guys have time, if you want to check out the video, special just for April Fool's today, we have those videos, again, up at theburtshow.com and also on our YouTube page. So, yeah, if you want a good laugh, if you want to make fun of Burt, by all means, he's not here today. He's doing a podcasting conference in Chicago. Hit him up in his DMs and be like, my dude.
What is going on with you, man? You all right over there?
His girlfriend, Amanda, was like, I am making you an eye appointment like yesterday. All right, so let's go ahead and get Rosie on. So Rosie emailed us and asked if she could use our show because she is fed up. She's been reading all these lies that her now ex-husband's new fiance has been posting on Facebook. And I wouldn't even say it's like vague posting. She's just basically attacking her and her character on Facebook, spreading lies, and she is ready to set the record straight, and she wants to do that with us. Hey, Rosie, thanks for joining the Burt Show.
Oh my God, thank you guys so much for having me on.
You're so welcome. So yeah, we got your email and we are more than happy to let you use our show. And so go ahead and give us a little history here. And yeah, this is all you, girl. Set the record straight.
Okay, so my ex-husband's fiance, new fiance, she's been running her mouth all over Facebook and I've been staying silent, but I'm honestly over it at this point. She's been posting stuff like how she rescued him from a toxic marriage and how like I was so lazy and I took him for everything in the divorce, and she's showing him like what a real woman is like.
Oh, those are fighting words.
Yeah. So, and I really ignored it and tried to be bigger for a long part of this. But I'm going to read the most recent post because now I've had it.
Yeah. What's the most recent post that's pushed you over the edge?
Okay. So she said, and I quote, crazy how some people don't appreciate a good man when they have one. But that's okay, because God always has a bigger plan. I'm so thankful I get to show him what a real love looks like. No more toxic energy, no more lazy, entitled nonsense, just two people building the future together the right way. Maybe next time certain people should appreciate what they had instead of playing the victim when it's gone. Anyways, planning our wedding in full swing. Can't wait to be his wife. Hashtag blessed. And then a bunch of stupid emojis.
I hate when people bring God into their pettiness.
God's like, leave me out of this.
Please.
I'm minding my business. I got a bigger problem. We got to solve world hunger.
What this got to do with me?
Yeah. So, you know, she's acting like she knows everything about the marriage. And she has one side, obviously my ex-husband. But I've just had it, you guys.
Rosie, obviously this sucks. Like, you never want to see somebody throwing some shade or subtweeting you on social media. But like, at the end of the day, like, what does it really matter? Like, he's out of your life. He's your ex-husband. This is his new fiance. Like, how is this really affecting you?
For a long time, like, it wasn't, but it's just like, I think my truth deserves to be heard at this point too. Like, the stuff that he's saying is like, that obviously, I guess he's telling her, is just completely wrong. Like that I'm lazy, that I'm entitled, when the honest truth of the reality of like why we're not together anymore, I worked two jobs while he stayed at home on the couch all day. I paid the majority, if not all of our bills, all of the time. He couldn't hold a job down, so he was always just at the house. And then he didn't even like help do like cleaning around the house. Like, I paid our groceries, rent, both of our car payments. And he just always gave me an attitude, and I just kind of finally had enough. And, you know, and he just keeps saying, like, I guess that I abandoned him. And I just, honestly, I was fed up carrying all this dead weight. And I feel like so betrayed that, like, he's painting me as, like, what he did to me, you know?
I get where you're coming from, and I know it's easier said than done, but I'm with Abby on this. I just feel like once you put something behind you or someone behind you, to continue to allow them to affect your life in this way is you allowing them to win. Like, going back and forth, especially online, it's never going to win. The lies are always going to overwhelm the truth, and people are going to believe what they want. And as much as you feel like you can probably get your truth out there over hers, it just ends up being a waste of time and a waste of energy in the end.
But does it feel good, Rosie, to like stand in your truth and like finally let people know, hey, this is my side of the story, and this is what I dealt with?
Because like, I've been the bigger man like this entire time. Like, I haven't said anything. I haven't told people like all of this about him at all. Like, we divorced, and I didn't run my mouth and was like, wasn't saying that he was doing this, he was doing that, da da da. We just had a divorce, and apparently this woman has taken it upon herself to like make a smear campaign against me, and I'm just over it.
All right, so you've got it off your chest. Are we feeling better? Like, what how are we going to proceed from here?
Oh, once you guys post this, I'm going to post this on my Facebook so that she can see it and everybody else hears my side of the story.
Oh, I ain't mad at that.
Yeah.
now I feel like, God, why are you bringing us into this?
We are in the middle of it, aren't we?
I want nothing to do with this.
Sorry, you're guilty by association. Well,
if she's using God and you're using us, I think she has the upper hand.
All right, so Rosie, after the podcast gets posted, you're just going to share this to your Facebook page.
Absolutely. No context. I'm just going to post it because enough people know both sides of us and everything. So I'm just going to let them decide. Thank you for the advice, but I am definitely posting this.
Yeah, you're just, I can hear it in your voice, girl. You are like, done.
I'm done. It's just pathetic at this point.
All right. Well, I hope you feel a little bit better. You feel a little bit lighter. And, you know, you're going to post this today. And I do agree with Mo and Abby as far as like, let the past be the past. But it's really hard when every day it's in your face and somebody is saying something that's not true about you. And you just want to scream from the mountaintop like, no, this is my side of the story. But I feel like you post this and then you just wipe your hands clean. Well, your hands aren't really clean, but you wipe off your hands as best you can, and then you walk away.
They're clean enough, man. At least what I'm saying is the truth.
And by the way, when that comment section goes off, you gotta call us back and let us know.
Don't you worry. I will let you know.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
First show, Q99.7. Tonight is the night. It's going to be a huge night at State Farm Arena. The Hawks are playing with a brand new player who is getting signed today. And who is that, Mo?
That's our dude, KJ, one of our Burt's Big Adventure children, who is coming out to get his welcome to the Atlanta Hawks, man. He loves basketball so much that I cannot wait for this moment, because the first time we met was at Dave & Buster's when I watched him play basketball, and me and his dad, Kari, were playing, and the way his eyes lit up and how much he just loves basketball and the Hawks, I cannot imagine how this surprise is going to hit him.
Oh, I know. This is going to be so much fun tonight. So KJ, who is 6, went on Burt's Big Adventure this past February with us. For those that don't know, Burt's Big Adventure is our nonprofit. We take kids with chronic and terminal illness to Disney World. So we had KJ, his mom Greta, his dad Kari, his sister Kai. They all went on Burt's Big Adventure. And we do these family surprises. And one of the family surprises was that KJ was going to get to become an actual Atlanta Hawk for a day. So here's what we have in store for the family tonight. So Mo and I, we're going to meet there at State Farm Arena. They're bringing the family in through a VIP entrance because, okay, you know, that's all we do is VIP.
Absolutely, all the way through.
He's getting his own custom locker in the locker room with his nameplate.
Come on now. How great is that?
He's going to have his own jersey, of course. There is going to be a real deal press conference with actual media for him signing his contract. So the coach is going to be there. They're going to take questions in the press pool. They're going to sign the contract. Then after that, he gets to go to the courtside and he gets to watch the players warm up. He gets to meet the coaches. He gets to meet the players. He gets to meet Dominique Wilkins,
an Atlanta legend. Absolutely.
All right. So then they're going to be escorted to watch the game. They're going to be there courtside watching the game, you know, the tickets, the food, all of that. And then he's also going to get a special shout out in the second quarter. So if you're going to be at State Farm Arena tonight and you're going to be watching the Hawks play, sometime during the second quarter, he's going to be on the Jumbotron and they're going to give a special shout out to KJ. So make sure you cheer real loud for the Atlanta Hawk that's getting signed for a 1-day contract today.
They're going all out for him. Oh, man, this is awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, you and me both. And I actually ran into KJ's dad, Kari, over the weekend. And let me tell you, like, when he is so excited. I mean, excited isn't even a strong enough word for how excited Kari is, because KJ has spina bifida and hydrocephalus. And he is nonverbal, but man, that kid speaks with his facial expressions.
His expressions, sure.
And speaks with his eyes. Like, he's taking everything in. He's absorbing everything. So just to be able to see him tonight, take all of that in, and then just talking to dad and how special this is. Because they do. He lights up when he watches the Hawks play at home.
Every time.
And I remember when we did this family reveal at our send-off party. I mean, the tears that came from Pops, the dad tears get me every single time.
Yeah, man.
Right?
You know, that's coming from a deep place like this.
And just knowing that they're seeing, like, this is a dream come true for KJ and for the family. So we'll be there tonight. If you see us, say hey, and just make sure you cheer really loud for KJ during that second quarter when they give him the shout-out. It's going to be so much fun.
Absolutely.
All right, so Abby, again, we talked about you having access to the owner suite at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the Atlanta United game this weekend. By the way, when I thought suite, I thought up in the, like, up in, like, up above, but you were, like, there on the field, like on the pitch.
We weren't on the field. We were on, like, the 100 floor, I think. Oh. So we had, like, to me, that's the best place to be, because then you can actually see everything that's going on. And for me, like, I haven't been watching soccer that long, so I need all the visibility I can get, because I'm like, okay, wait, they're running. Okay, they're trying to score. Okay, they didn't score. Okay, now they're going the other way. Oh, that guy's cute. Okay. I'm like looking up the roster and stuff. And I was talking about how exciting this experience was, because I'll literally never get over it, because I'll never get to go back. But I will say, this suite is so stunning and perfect and wonderful, except they do need to make one small change to the owner's suite. And
you really critiquing the owner's suite?
I'm at the edge of my seat.
They need some renovations in one specific part of this suite. Now, let me be very clear. This place is stunning. Like I said, you walk in, there's like marble everywhere, big gold staircase, food everywhere, literally all you can eat treats, all you can eat filet mignon, open bar. I mean, like, they treat you like royalty there. And then security, they welcome you at the door and they're like, it's Abby from the Burt Show. I'm like, oh my God, I feel relevant for like 5 seconds. Like, that's so cool. And, you know, we have these beautiful seats and we're watching the game. And then, of course, you know, it's an open bar. So naturally, like, you girls got to go potty, you know, a couple times in the owner's suite. But what's great about that is there's a private bathroom. So you go past these double doors. Security gives you the nod, says that you can go to the bathroom. And you're like, oh, this feels very like, I feel like this is Secret Service or something. And there are two individual restrooms that are, of course, are state-of-the-art, stunning, beautiful. They, you know, the big, heavy door, whey soap, whey lotion. There's, you know, products for you to use. There's poo-pourri on the, you're like, you know, it's fancy if they got poo-pourri in the bathroom. So I'm in there. And I'm doing my business, and all of a sudden, the door flies open. And there I am in front of a random woman, spread eagle on the toilet.
Did you not lock it?
No, here's the thing. I did lock it, but I had to investigate afterwards after I had this very embarrassing moment. Thank God I was drunk for this, because I was like, I would have never recovered from this otherwise. I was like, I swear that I locked the door. Like, I only had like a glass of wine or two at this point, so I wasn't like, you know, some crazy loony drunk. And the door, like, the lock doesn't really go all the way through, like,
the latch.
Like, it goes boop, but then it doesn't really, like, it doesn't really lock. And so I'm like, how are we, like, this is the owner's suite. It's not like it was broken or anything. Like, it genuinely felt like it was like a user experience problem.
Like, it's supposed to be like that.
I'm like,
are you sure you twisted it hard enough?
I did. I literally went, and I was like, how is this happening?
Pilates, and I took a Pilates class with you, because I know you're strong enough to close a door.
Yes, I'm a very strong lady. Like, I take Pilates 4 times a week. And so I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, now I'm afraid to go to the bathroom. Like, this is one of the perks you're supposed to have of going to the owner's suite is this private bathroom. Now I feel like I got to use the one down the hall. Or at the very least, I got to bring my bodyguard to watch the door so someone doesn't have to see my cooch before the sun comes up.
So when she walked in, like, because we've all had that moment when you think the door's locked and it's not, and somebody walks in on you as you're doing the hover or the squat. What interaction did the two of you have?
I looked at her and I go, oh,
wow. You laughed at her just like that?
No, I'm looking back at it because I was so chill about it in the moment, but like in hindsight, it's really embarrassing. So I'm laughing at myself in hindsight. I think I just went, hey!
Someone's in here!
No, literally, I went, I'm in here! And she looks at me and I look at her. And she looks at me. And she stood there for like a little bit too long.
It should be fast.
This should be one of those things where it's like, whoop, that's a person. And yep. I'm like, yep, that's me. So she stood there, took a good look at me, and I said, hope you enjoyed the show. That normally costs people a pretty penny, but you got it for free.
Did you ever see her after?
Yeah, I did. Contrary to popular belief, that suite is not that big.
All right, really quick, let's hit up the south side with Amber. Amber, you went somewhere and you have to share the deliciousness that you got to indulge in.
I am salivating as I'm speaking about this. It's called Trelawney Fusion Kitchen. Okay. It was formerly known as Spicy Hill in Jonesboro, Georgia. Southside, what's up?
Woo-woo.
Okay. Yo, yo. The thing is, they will snatch your soul with these flavors, but they won't do it with your bank. It's amazing. It's affordable. It's delicious. Get your salmon quesadilla. Get your curry. Get your jerk. I had a honey garlic chicken flatbread.
Oh my god,
it was so good. Shout out to Dion, the owner of the place. Black owned, family owned, Trelawney Fusion Kitchen. Go get your Jamaican. It is amazing.
It's the Burt Show.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming.
While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
I got to ask you this first, Abby, because there's a new dating app. And reaction.
Mm-hmm. I've been off of them for 35 days and I'm loving it.
Not that you're counting, right?
Yeah, I have a counter being like, it's been 35 days without male attention.
All right, so you have been dating apps sober, but there is a new dating app called Tribal. And it's changing the game by blurring the pictures of people you're chatting with for 72 hours.
Immediately, no.
So you are conversing with somebody for 72 hours, but their face is blurred so you can't see what they look like.
Tribal is essentially a friendship and dating app, but it's really based on psychology. And it's all about combating loneliness and improving social connection, trying to use technology in a really positive way. So the profile build and the questions are all around compatibility and values. And that's how people are matched and brought together. And I guess the psychology behind that is having aligned values and really trying to just eliminate that kind of superficial swipe culture.
So that was the creator of the app, Tribal app, Rachel Harker. So would or would not try, Abigail?
Would not try. Now, listen, I know there are a lot of women that would find that appealing, but I think that's the problem is that that's the kind of app that appeals to women. But the only way you're going to make it successful is if, and I'm specifically speaking to heterosexual women, because I think that's a predominant like audience for dating apps. The only way you're going to make an app successful is if you have a group of available guys who also want to use it. And the reality is men typically shop with their eyes. But I also think women shop with their eyes too. Like there are plenty of guys that on paper or emotionally I'd be compatible with. But in my opinion, love might be blind, but attraction is not. And if you're looking for attraction in your romantic relationship, which I think most people are, I think it is just trying to look past something that we think we should get over. We just think that we shouldn't be going after looks or attraction. And I'm not saying those are everything, but I do think constantly dismissing the attraction piece in relationships is not getting us anywhere.
So that's a hard no.
Yeah, that's going to be a no for me.
Very hard, actually.
In this essay, I will.
All right, so Rebecca, remind everybody again, how long has it been since you've gone on a date?
Oh my gosh, I think it's been definitely over a year and a half. It may be close to 2 years. First date this Saturday. It was a big one because, as I said, it's been quite a while. But it's also the first date I've had since battling cancer, so kind of a biggie. A lot on the line, I felt like, or at least I put a lot of pressure on it myself. I talked to you guys about how I was feeling nervous, not because I'm just like kind of an awkward person in general, but because I battled tongue cancer. So I have an interesting, unique tongue now. Part of it has tissue from my wrist, which is fused together to my native tongue, which came with a tattoo free of charge.
It's like a Franken tongue.
It literally is a Franken tongue. I mean, it was just like fused together so that I can still use my native tongue. And thank God for modern medicine and science and all that stuff. That's way above my pay grade. But yeah, it's a little interesting looking. It's like what I would call a curiosity.
Okay, so, and you were asking us last week, do I or do I not give this guy I'm going on a date with a heads up about my tongue? And yes. I think we all agreed across the board, and you were not here, right, Mo?
I was here the day we spoke about it.
Got it. Okay, so I think all of us across the board, we were like, there's no need to give him like a heads up or like a text or like, because I think you were communicating through like a dating app, because that feels like you're making it bigger and you're putting too much pressure. But if it comes up in conversation, then by all means.
Yeah, it's so funny because when I brought the story up, I was like, of course I'm going to message him. Of course I'm going to tell him before the date. That just makes sense to me. And then every single person I talked to was like, do not do that. Don't bring baggage to your first date and like make something kind of like almost worse than it is. So I didn't. I didn't tell him. I didn't message him and be like, beware.
It's a little spooky in there.
My Franken tongue is coming too. Yeah. Okay. But I was, it did make me nervous. It made me really nervous because I just didn't know what to expect once we got there. And I took the day Saturday. I really relaxed. I like prepped for the day kind of the whole day, like really gave myself like this nice spa day, took care of myself, did my hair all nice.
Did you do the shower?
Oh my God, I almost fainted in the shower from how hot it was and how long I was in there. Yes, it was the full shower TM trademark. But then suddenly it was like everything started going wrong. I did my makeup. It looked beautiful. I'm putting on mascara. A huge glob hits my cheek and I can't even get it off.
No.
That first horrible red flag. I am driving to the coffee shop. I'm pulling in. There's a perfect spot right in the front. Someone cuts me off and gets there before I do. And I have to find street parking elsewhere. Then I show up and I'm early to the date, which Abby told me not to do. Oh. She told me to show up late.
So my pro tip for dates is I think you should always get there 5 to 7 minutes after the start time, because you're hoping the guy is going to show up on time and he's going to figure out all the scary logistical things. Like, where are we going to sit? Are we going to stand in line? Is he going to buy something for me? If you show up about 5 minutes late, it's a respectable time to where he can handle all of that and you can just show up and be your beautiful self.
Mm-hmm. I did the opposite. I showed up like 5 minutes early. So I'm like, whatever, I'll go and get my coffee. This is good. I'll like find a good vantage point and sit there. Get to the cashier. I forgot my wallet.
Oh. Yeah. Are you serious?
I forgot my wallet. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to think I'm doing some like womanly trick.
He's
to be like,
gonna think that. Yeah. I would think that.
Oopsie. Oh, I forgot my wallet.
Oh, did you now? Oh no.
Oh my God. So I'm standing there. The cashier's looking at me. I'm looking at them and we are just like staring at each other. He walks in behind me. Thankfully, he was very cool with getting my coffee. I didn't let him know that I lost my wallet. That was it. Whatever. It was fine. So we sit down and I'm so nervous. But the date went so well.
It did.
Right. It went amazing.
You sure that just wasn't you jacked up on caffeine?
Maybe. Yeah, I was really drinking the espressos. Very Italian. Yeah, we sat down at like 7 p.m. and got our coffee and sat in this little corner booth. And we literally didn't get up until a barista came by and was like, do you guys need like to-go cups? Because we realized it's 10 p.m. and they're kicking us out.
You were there for 3 hours?
Yes, we talked nonstop for 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. That's a great date.
That is a great date. And not that this even matters, but because this has been the focal point, did the tongue come up in conversation at all?
It didn't come up at all.
Nah, this is such a win.
Isn't it so cool? And it's so funny because I kind of screwed up because we were in this little corner and he was sitting to the right of me. So if you're sitting to the right of me, the flap is on display, mm-hmm. which is what the little tissue is called. So he could see it. He could 100% see it. He could see the tattoo when I talked. He never brought it up. And he still liked me. He saw it and he still liked me. And we have a second date today.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
To get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby, it's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm too distracted because love is back. Love is back, baby.
Pollen's in the air. Love is in the air. All the things are in the air.
All right, Scott Disick's son, Rain, also Kourtney Kardashian's son, is denying a longstanding rumor that Justin Bieber is actually his father. This has been like a weird rumor that's kind of lingered around for a while. And he's 10 years old at this point and went on Instagram Live and vehemently denied it in the best way that a 10-year-old boy can and said, my mom would not do that.
Rain, your dad? No, he's not. Bro, I swear, Justin Bieber's not my dad. Scotty is my dad. I think Justin Bieber was 16 when I got born. Yeah, I don't think my mom would do that.
I don't think my mom would do that.
10 years old.
Direct quote. My mom would not do that.
Yeah, because it's illegal.
Well, to be fair, even though he said that he was 16, Justin was actually 19 and 20 in the year 2014, which is when Rain got born, according to him. I just think this is like so classic 10-year-old, like him calling his dad Scotty. He's my dad. And his mom would not do that. So.
Oh my God, these kids are taking after their parents about how they're able to be like headlines and grab headlines. Like, this is classic Kardashian move right here.
Learning it way too soon.
They know exactly what they're doing. Okay, Kristen, have you seen all the info on the new Beatles biopic?
I have not, believe it or not.
So I know you're a big Beatles fan.
Huge.
And I know the girlies are going to be really excited to see this because the headliners, the stars of this film are some of the biggest white boys of the month I've ever seen. So there's Harris Dickinson, who stars in that Baby Girl movie with Nicole Kidman. He is playing John Lennon. Paul McCartney is being played by Paul Mescal, which is he's a huge, huge star for the girlies. George Harrison is being played by Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things. And Ringo Starr is being played by everyone's favorite Irishman, Barry Keoghan from Saltburn, also Sabrina Carpenter's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, wow. It's stacked.
What's so crazy is when I saw the headlines for them announcing the cast, I was like, I cannot wait to see this. This is going to be so good. I cannot wait to see like all of these massive, massive stars come together for what's going to be a really good biopic, I think.
But it makes me nervous.
Why does it make you nervous?
Just because, like, so I am a Beatles purist. So anytime there's like anybody does a cover, it's like, and something like this, I love documentaries, mm-hmm. like Beatles documentaries, but this, it just makes, I don't know why, it just makes me nervous.
Well, what makes me feel better about this is the fact that Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and the families of John Lennon and George Harrison have granted the full life story and music rights for the scripted film. For this is the first time that's ever happened. And so that's really hoping that this is going to give us some authentic portrayals. But what's really crazy about this is there's going to be four films that all get released at the same time. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Summer 2026, summer 2027. It's going to be amazing. Going to see the girlies at the theater to watch Paul Mescal. This doesn't come out until April 2028.
Well, yeah, they got four movies to do.
Right. I know. No, but they're all coming out at the same time. So the director, Sam Mendes, is saying that this is going to be the first bingeable movie experience. So instead of doing like one movie and then another movie and then another movie and like spacing them out over the course of a couple of years, they're releasing them all in April of 2028.
That's a bold move.
Bingeable movies.
Isn't that crazy? And so, it's going to be in theaters.
So you can go to the theater. You would literally spend all day at the theater because you'd watch the biopic of John Lennon, then you watch the Paul McCartney one, then you watch the George Harrison one, and then you watch the Ringo Starr one. And obviously, they're all starring in all the movies, but each member of the Beatles is going to be the main character of that movie.
Which is cool for the stars because it means they get to be the star of their own film. But at the same time, like, are we all really going to watch 8 hours of what is supposedly going to be, I don't think it's going to be the same film, but it's going to be told from the perspective of each star. So I'm like, will there be overlapping scenes? Can we watch it like simultaneously? Like, can we get four screens on at the same time?
That's a lot.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. Like, it sounds fascinating because I think they're like, if you're looking at people's watching habits right now, it's so funny how we say, no, I can't sit through like a 2.5 hour movie. But yet last night I sat there and binged not one, not two, but three episodes of 1923. So I literally sat there for 3 hours watching TV.
I don't know why it's so much easier for me to watch four episodes of a TV show back to back to back. And a 2 hour movie to me feels like it goes on forever. Like I turned on The Life List on Netflix, which is this new rom-com, and it was 2 hours long. And I was like, when is this thing going to be over? Like, this is taking forever.
I feel like it's the cliffhangers for me. Like, every time I think I'm done binging this, I'll go do something else. The cliffhanger will make me want to go to the next episode.
Exactly.
See, that's what happened to me in 1923 last night. She's at Grand Central Station, and she's got to catch the train to Boston. But this guy walks into the bathroom behind her, and I had to see what happened.
You got to know what happens next.
All right, the chairwoman of a charity Prince Harry recently resigned from is accusing him of bullying and harassment. I'm going to tell you the details of the scandal on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.